Listen, I want to share with you tonight that the time I've got, not a message, I'm not here to tell you my favourite message or this preached real well here, there or anywhere. I'm on my way tomorrow to Pennsylvania and I never preached in Pennsylvania before. And then me and Charlie are on a plane Sunday night and we're heading back to England before Gina noticed I was gone. you know, it's one of those sneaky trips. And but I've just got, I want to share with you tonight something that, you know, when you think you know about something and then the Lord helps you understand you knew nothing. I recently went through that pertaining probably the most important thing there is to have a revelation about, other than the salvation that comes through the King. And I'm always thinking of that verse that says, you know, in Corinthians, let the man who says he knows, let him know he doesn't know as he ought. Man, that is such wisdom and truth in that. But especially as Pentecostals, we're so good at running around saying, we know this, we know this, we know this. But our knowing is only on a surface level. But it's not affecting anything because it's something that's going on in our head. But then the Holy Spirit begins to breathe. He begins to breathe. He begins to stir the wind. And something you thought you knew, you suddenly realize you didn't know at all. But then he brings you, because he's not embarrassing you, into a knowing of something where it suddenly the lights come on and you're like, what have I been doing the last 25 years? I've had one of those moments. Recently, the Lord began to speak to me of something that's reshaped the whole landscape of who I am as a person, what I'm building and what I want to do with the rest of my life. And I want to share that word with you. Now, when I say the word, you're going to say, is that it? But I want to believe God tonight that he'll bring a revelation of this word that will affect not what happens in this building in your meetings. In fact, what happens in your meetings will just be a manifestation of what this word does in your life outside of this building. And every time I go to preach something else, God brings me back to this. I was like, oh my goodness, poor old Jerome and Brenda sat through me talking about this last night. And I thought, no, I've got to keep preaching this. I'm talking about something that Jesus placed great value on. In fact, it was the only thing he preached about. It was the only thing that he told you to seek. And that's the kingdom. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is blowing a fresh revelation across the Western Church regarding the kingdom of the King. And I love it. I've just so many verses that speak of a kingdom, isn't there? I was reading from the parables in Matthew 13, where Jesus compares it to a pearl. Not just a pearl, but the pearl of greatest worth. Come on, what emphasis is the Lord placing on his kingdom that he would say it's the pearl of greatest worth? Do we consider it the pearl of greatest worth in our life? Do we seek it like the Lord instructed us to seek it? I'm not talking about church attendance or church membership. I'm talking about kingdom citizenship. You see, I think the church is beautiful, but we've actually allowed it in some ways, not the leadership, but just the way that we've really not been too different to what Rome did. Rome took the kingdom and made it into a manageable meeting that had times and places. And the kingdom was never meant to be that. You see, the church is very, very young. The kingdom's eternal. The kingdom was always in God. But the church, Jesus brought the kingdom to earth 2,000 years ago. And the church is about 2,000 years old. And I think what we've tried to do is make the church the totality of the kingdom. And it's really not. You see, God called you to be born into a kingdom, not a church membership. And I just sense tonight some people are going to exchange their church membership for kingdom citizenship. That won't take anything from your church experience. It will radically transform it to something you never imagined it could be. So I want to just talk about the kingdom, but I want the kingdom to be the pearl that irritates tonight. Now, you know that the very production of a pearl involves irritation. It starts as a piece of sand and it irritates and fluid and stuff is released, and the forming of the pearl comes out of irritation. In the same way, I believe that God wants his kingdom to come afresh in your life tonight with great irritation, to stir within you everything you love, everything you value, and everything you pursue. So I'm not speaking about, are you a church member tonight? Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that church plays its part, but actually church is just a manifestation of something much bigger called the kingdom of God. And we need to understand that we weren't born into an organization when we were saved, but we were born into the kingdom of the King that saved us. And that should affect us as much on Monday as it does on Sunday. The problem is many Christians in the Western world have sectionalized their part called Christianity and limited it to a meeting, a service. And God wants to pull down the walls that are in your thinking tonight and bring you into the wide open place of kingdom living. Now listen to what Jesus said. It's amazing. When you begin to preach the kingdom, it's the red car. It's suddenly you see it everywhere. And it's like, you know, when you buy a red car or something and you never noticed one before, and then suddenly, or you get a Prius, not that you would do that, but you get a Prius, and then suddenly you didn't notice any Priuses, and then they're everywhere. That's the kingdom. You see, the kingdom is hidden for seekers. The kingdom is hidden for those that seek it. And it's not found by those that glibly can't be bothered. But the kingdom is worth finding more than any other thing. Holy Spirit, help us to find the kingdom tonight. Holy Spirit, whether they've been saved a week or a year or almost a lifetime, we want to find your kingdom, Lord, in a new way. So Jesus teaching in verse 44 says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. You got to seek it, you see. It's not there for people to fall over, but it's there to be found by those who want to look. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Come on, that's us, isn't it? We're on pursuit of that which is of worth or value. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and purchased it. Listen, when we find the kingdom like the kingdom can be found, everything else that once mattered is demoted to a lesser station of importance. Things that we would have died for, we wouldn't die for anymore. The kingdom is waiting to be found. But you've got to understand, when you find the kingdom, it changes everything. It changes everything. And it's amazing. I don't know if I've been preaching for 28 years or something like that, but I suddenly realized that I wasn't preaching the message of the kingdom. I was preaching a gospel of atonement that led people to salvation in Christ. And that's good, isn't it? But my gospel didn't bring them, as it should, into the kingdom of God in this life as God intended. Because I'd bought into the subliminal religious lie that kingdom come was something far, far away one day and not present here and now around me, in me, and through me. But all of a sudden, this awakening began to shake everything about me concerning his kingdom. You see, when Jesus was talking of a pearl of great price, he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about his kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. If you have one, you have the other. The problem for me is I had the king, but I hadn't come into his kingdom. That's why I didn't experience the rule and reign of his kingdom. I did partially, but God had much, much more for me as he has for you. Tonight, people are coming into the kingdom in their understanding. You're coming into the kingdom afresh. I ask you just to have a humble heart, because you see, entrance into the kingdom is only for those who are poor of spirit. It's not for the spiritual arrogant. It's for those that are desperate for a savior. It's amazing when you begin to look at the kingdom, you see it everywhere. You see it's all he taught. Everywhere Jesus went, it says, you know, he came out in Mark 1, he came out and he preached the good news of the kingdom. But when he died, it says, and after he died, after he'd risen again, before he went to heaven, he appeared to his disciples for 40 days and taught them the kingdom. How important was the kingdom to the king? That is what he would teach for 40 days before ascending. You see, for me, I know I found the king when I got saved, but I feel almost like it's only now I'm stepping in to his kingdom as I should do. And when you come in, it's a wide open place. See, when we pray kingdom come, and we all do, we read, you know, through Matthew 6, and it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think for years I bought into unknowingly what many others do and what you can drift into if you stop your pursuit of the kingdom, a thinking that was far, far away one day. That kingdom come was about what happened when Jesus returned in the second coming. Now, partially there is a reality to that, but the Bible teaches that 2,000 years ago, kingdom came and kingdom never left. Kingdom was never contained in buildings or in organizations, but in citizens of it. Come on, I'm ready to see some miracles like they saw in the book of Acts. I'm tired of their ministries when people are sick. I'm tired of seeing mental torment and other things, depression, ail people, and me not see them leave like I know the Bible says I can. Recently, me and my family, I won't go into it, but we went through a very dark time, probably the darkest time we'd ever gone through. But you know what? Just like it was with Joseph, what the enemy meant for bad, God had a plan. And it was actually in that place where I realized no one on earth could help me. But I stopped looking to the earth and turned my eyes to another present kingdom that offered me keys that could turn these things around. It's amazing, in our own stupidity, it must be. Sometimes we find the kingdom on our knees. But when you find it, don't come out of it. Jesus preached kingdom, not as far, far away, but here and now. He said, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. And sometimes it's as simple as us understanding that when we were born again, not only did we step into the fullness of salvation through death, burial, and resurrection, identification in him, we were positioned in Christ. But that very moment, we stepped into another kingdom, though we were still present here on earth. Now, I know this is all stuff you've heard before, and everybody knows this, right? Then why are we not changing the world if we know it so well? Why is the gospel we're preaching not drawing multitudes like it did when Christ and the early apostles preached it? Maybe that we forgot that when we ask people to come on into Christ, We don't just welcome them into eternal life, but kingdom living here on earth. You see, when we were born again, I know this is simple, but bear with me, please. It's the simple things that can change us the most. When we were born again, we came through the doorway, which was the King himself, into the kingdom of the King. See, for me to preach kingdom isn't removing Christ at all. Because the simple fact is, they're synonymous. But wherever there's a king, there's a kingdom. Wherever there's a kingdom, there's a king. I believe that the Holy Spirit speaking to people that have ears to hear, to come into the kingdom in their understanding, not a kingdom that starts when they die and go to heaven, but a kingdom that was born in them the moment they died in Christ. This has been troubling me for months in a good way. Like that irritating pearl. The Holy Spirit's been irritating me. Don't you love it when the Holy Spirit... I don't like it when people irritate me. But I like it when the Holy Spirit irritates me. He won't let me stop thinking about this. He won't let me drift away from this. He's like, no, Andy, you've started coming in and you're coming fully in. And when you do, kingdom will begin to come from you like you've never seen it before. Because the Bible says it's not the gospel of atonement that's preached in every nation and then the end comes. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Right? So maybe we've got to understand, not just be experts of the gospel of atonement, but the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached, that the kingdom of God is among you now. Not just among you, but within you. You see, when we were born again, it starts with realization. I just want to talk a little bit about the passageway into walking in kingdom authority. It starts with realization. When a man realizes that when he was born again, only through Christ, he was also born into a kingdom, yet he still lived in this world. And a kingdom was born into him. Now, we know that the entrance in to the kingdom is only through new birth, right? But Jesus said to Nicodemus, a man must be born again. No one can enter the kingdom unless they're born again. So we know that Christ himself is the doorway to his kingdom. Not when you die, because again, we've got to break this Christianity that's all, I'll fly away, oh glory, that all the good stuff happens when you die. We've got to break that deceptive lie and say, yes, there is a kingdom there, but also there's a kingdom here. But actually, when we get to heaven, apart from seeing the people that we love and we miss, we really shouldn't actually live too differently. Because that would mean that we didn't believe that the kingdom was here. Right? Well, we all believe that. No, we don't. I know many Christians that are walking around talking and telling me what they're going to be like when they die and go to heaven. That they're suddenly going to become this worshipper, this super servant, this super submitted person. Everything. Do you know what? When I get to heaven, I actually want to rejoice in seeing those that have gone before me. But actually, I want to wake up and go, okay, just another day. Because I knew I was a part of that kingdom here on earth. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth. We will change Kingston if enough of us hand in our mere church membership and pick up kingdom citizenship. What your church does will go beyond the walls of anything you imagined into every community, school, and workplace. It will become unstoppable. Now, coming into the kingdom is really simple, but there is an etiquette, according to Jesus. One, you must be born again. It's open to whosoever, but you must be born again. But also, the Bible says you won't be born again unless you're poor of spirit. What does that mean? That we're broke? No. Poor of spirit is wealthiness. Because to be poor of spirit means that you know you need a savior. The Amplified says that you're not spiritually arrogant. Now, I know that, I'm sure you've acknowledged it, when you're leading someone to Christ or trying to lead someone to Christ, you often come against two types of people. One that actually say, I need Jesus, I need a Savior. They're so easy. They're not far from the kingdom. You bring them in. But then you meet others and they begin to tell you about how good they are, how many good works they've done, what a nice person they are. They can never come into the kingdom because they're not poor of spirit. They don't see their need of a Savior. The other thing that Jesus said is that we've got to be not childish, but childlike. Just vulnerable. Yes, Lord, if you say it's for me, unquestioning. So if we've got anyone here that's not spiritual, arrogant and childlike, everything God's got is open for you. Amen. Now, when we're born again, and this is the stuff I'm going over, like, Lord, I know this. I've preached this many times, but I didn't know it as I ought. When we're born again, we actually become citizens of the kingdom, though we don't die and go to heaven. And the Bible says that a kingdom, that moment is born in us, which means that we've been walking around carrying a kingdom unaware of it. But if we can break that unawareness tonight and begin to live kingdom lives and release the kingdom that God has placed in us, we can change the world really quick. But if we just keep doing what we're doing, we're never going to change it, because we haven't in 2,000 years. We've got to have a shift. So when we're born again, we come into the kingdom and the kingdom comes into us. So it starts with realization that we're not just saved, but God makes us citizens, subjects. Now, when we know that we're subjects of the kingdom, then it's simple. All we need to do is become subject to the kingdom. You can be a subject of the kingdom by new birth that comes through faith in Christ. But that doesn't mean that you're living subject to the kingdom. Because you see, the kingdom could be called many things. Let's just call it tonight the sovereign rule and reign of God. The authority of the kingdom comes through the lives of believers that are not just subjects of, but subject to. Your kingdom come, your will be done. One qualifies you as a citizen, the other one makes you an ambassador. We've got too many Christians that are just subjects of, and the kingdom needs them to become subjects to. But the rule and reign of Christ covers every area of your life, not legalistically, but because you know you're no longer of this world. This has got to affect every ounce of who we are. You're a dual citizen. Problem is, some of you never knew it. So, okay, if I take my coat off, I won't lose my anointing or anything. Remember once being with Dave Hart in Africa, and I was sweating like a pig in Zambia. And Dave kept saying, don't take your jacket off. They think you'll lose your anointing. And in the end, I got so hot, I said, look, if your anointing stays or goes, it's going, because otherwise I'm going to pass out. Okay, so we're born again into a kingdom. We're born again, we're saved, but we're born into a kingdom. The moment we believe, a kingdom's born in us. And you became a dual citizen, but the problem is, some people didn't realize that. Now, I had an interesting experience with my son, Ethan. And if you've seen Ethan recently, he's like 6'6". He's huge. He's just a man mountain. And you have until the age of 18 to register a birth abroad for an American citizen. And now, being that Gina is an American and I'm an Englishman, all of my children qualify for dual citizenship. And so we left it a little bit late, like he's 17 and a half years old. But we took him to the American embassy just a few weeks ago, and the Lord speaking to me this whole thing about kingdom. And so I take my 6.5 foot giraffe of a son to the American embassy. And it was ever so funny when we were inside, and the guy didn't look up, and he said, so you're here to register the birth of a child? I said, yeah. He looked up and went, yeah, him. Could have done it earlier, but we're still not 18 yet. But it was amazing when we went to London, that we went to London that was in Great Britain. Undeniably, in Great Britain. We were in Great Britain. But the moment we crossed through the barrier of the American embassy, legally and vitally, though we were present in the United Kingdom, we were now in another realm. We were now under the rule and reign of another realm, which meant I couldn't act like an Englishman in my own country because now I was under the rule and reign of another government. Can you see where I'm heading with this? And I'm sitting there thinking, I hear you, Holy Spirit. I hear you, Holy Spirit. But as an Englishman, I could break the law in my own country by not living by the rule and the reign of the realm I was now physically in. I began to meditate this. I said, that's it, isn't it, Lord? And then suddenly I began to hear the prayer of Jesus when he spoke to his Father. Lord, don't take him out of the world. Send them into the world. What does Jesus pray next? But let them know they're in the world. But just like me, Father, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. Come on, can you feel that dropping in your spirit tonight? You don't become a citizen of the kingdom of God when you die and go to heaven. You're one right now, and the kingdom of God wants to begin to express its rule and reign, not through the leaders, but every believer who knows they're a citizen. God's not taking you out of the world, but in some ways, he has. But all of us are in this world, but we haven't realized. We're not of it. That shouldn't produce weirdness. It should produce people living with kingdom authority. Not over natural things, but the things that come before natural things, which are spiritual things. We had a brilliant conference last weekend, and we had a gentleman over from Nigeria, and he basically said to us, you Westerners really don't even believe there's a spirit world, do you? And as he began to preach, I began to agree with him. And he says, no, you need to understand that the spirit world, where the kingdom of God is actual, is more real than the natural world. You're not a body with a spirit, you're a spirit with a body. But what we do, because we think so carnally, is we're constantly trying to deal with the manifestations of problems instead of doing what Jesus did. And I loved when James was preaching. He said, you know, when Jesus woke up in the boat, he didn't talk to the waves. First, he talked to the wind. Because the waves are what are seen. The wind is what's unseen. And many of us, because we don't think like kingdom people, are constantly trying to move shadows. And we're never moving what's causing the shadow. When we understand that we're citizens of a kingdom, we suddenly begin to realize we have the rule and reign of the kingdom, if we're not just subjects of, but subjects to, which gives us the keys of the kingdom. It's amazing. This has really messed my world up, because I was quite happily thinking that I was called to build church. And then I suddenly realized I'm not. Jesus said he would build the church. Me, I'm called to release the kingdom. Now, when you read that with Peter, he says to Peter, I will build my church. I will build two things there. I will build my church. The church is always another man's garden, but the church is just a manifestation of something much bigger, called the kingdom, to which he remains always the king. It's scary when you see what we do in the West, where it's like the church belongs to a family sometimes. Some of these mega churches, you're like, hey, be careful. because it always remains another man's bride and another man's garden. You see, the church is just a manifestation of something much bigger, a glorious manifestation of something much bigger called the kingdom of God that's here and now. Now, when we come into the kingdom, we realize that we're not called to build church, we're called to pick up the keys of the kingdom and begin to take authority and bind and loose. Come on, what did Jesus say to him straight after? He says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he says, but I'm giving you, same chapter, say, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Do you know why some people don't walk with the authority of the keys of the kingdom? Because they've never seen themselves in the kingdom in this life. Now, the problem with the keys of the kingdom is they're in the door, but they're this side. So if you want to find the keys of the kingdom, Jesus didn't leave them under the mat outside of his kingdom. You have to understand your citizenship to the kingdom in this life. And when you find the kingdom in this life, you find the keys of the kingdom in this life that gives you the authority to begin to talk to the wind that's causing the waves. And then the peace will calm the waves. This isn't a leadership seminar. This is the inheritance of every believer that will be a kingdom's citizen. Now, what we've got to understand is you can't be casual with this. You're born into the kingdom. It's a work of God, like Pastor Josh says. It's all by his grace. You come into the kingdom and then you start to answer some questions. Am I a subject of that kingdom now? Or has kingdom come far, far away? Is it a fairy tale? Because I looked at that. I said, all right, what's the word come mean? Because you got it. When you're seeking the kingdom, you want to know every word. And I looked up the word come when it says thy kingdom come. And there was one definition in the Strong's and in other dictionaries that related it to something one day coming from a place over there to a place here. Every other definition said it's the manifestation and introduction of something present. So when we pray kingdom come, we shouldn't be thinking of the second coming. We should be thinking of God breaking out here and now. When we pray kingdom, this afternoon I just laid on my bed and I said, oh, this has made praying so simple. Lord, my family, kingdom come. My wife, kingdom come. Every situation, kingdom come. And what I'm praying is, Lord, manifest your sovereign rule and reign in these things, in this life, not the one to come, because I won't need to rule and reign in the life to come alone. He said, through the gift of grace and the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we are called to rule and reign in this life, but we'll never rule and reign until we know who we are, where he's positioned us, that the Bible says we're seated in heavenly places. Right now, we are seated in heavenly places, which must mean we are beyond the door of the kingdom. We are citizens now. And God's saying it's time for my church to pick up the keys and begin to speak with kingdom authority, not to things that are happening, but to the things, the principalities and the powers that are causing things to happen. Simple. But you gotta be a subject of, which is comes from you having a revelation. Then a kingdom too, a subject too. Because I call this the law of degree. To the degree that you're submitted to the rule and reign of Christ will be the degree that the rule and reign of Christ manifests through your life. Which means we need to make sure there's nothing in our world that doesn't bow the knee to the rule and reign of Christ. That there's nothing, there's no blockage in our life, in our relationships, in our money, everything. We bring our finances under the rule and reign. We bring our relationships under the rule and reign. We bring everything, our sexuality, everything under the rule and reign of the kingdom of God in this life. Because then when we're subject to, then we're suddenly carriers of. This is all the early church knew. And then Rome got hold of it and turned it into meetings, and we helped them. We do exactly the same. We try to fashion the kingdom into a manageable meeting and an organization that's run by trustees and directors. Now, the church is a manifestation, but it's not the fullness of the kingdom. This shouldn't cause us to dissemble church or become rebellious, because the Bible says don't forsake the meeting together. But we've got to get people to leave church on Sunday saying, I'm a kingdom person wherever I am. This Monday in school, I'm going to walk with the authority and the kingdom rule of God wherever I go. If I'm in the middle of Walmart and a devil wants to show its face, I'll stare that thing in the eyes and say, I'm a citizen here in Walmart as I was in that building. That building does not define my Christianity. My church membership does not define my authority. That I am a kingdom person, and out of my understanding of being a kingdom person, I submit to the government of the church on the earth. But I am not a member of the church. I am a citizen of the kingdom. I think one day I'm going to stick this in a book. I was saying to Gina, I said, I keep hearing this statement. The last few months, all I keep hearing is this statement. Can I share it with you? I am not a church attender. I am a kingdom breaking out. I don't know what that's going to look like in a few months, because I feel like a snowball at the moment going down the hill. I'm getting worse by the second. But I like it. I like it a lot. You're a kingdom waiting to break out. You are a kingdom. I don't care who you were. Jesus dealt with who you were when you were born again. Your death, burial, and resurrection, according to Romans 6, finalized everything that needed to be finalized. He qualified you and placed you in his Son, but he also placed you in this kingdom. And you need to start to rule and reign over what's happening with your families. You need to stop ruling. Do you know that kingdom redefines everything? All right, I'm losing my track here. Forgive me. Are you okay tonight? Is this stirring something? So I'm in the kingdom now. The kingdom's in me. I'm a subject of and I'm subject to, which means the kingdom is now in my life. So all I need to do now is release the kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean that I stand in a box and preach. It means that I live kingdom life. Because sometimes when we talk about releasing the kingdom, we get all funny in our head and we say, I've got to get a box and go down to Kingston High Street and preach so that I can release the kingdom. No, you need to begin to love your wife like the kingdom says you should love your wife. You need to raise your family like the kingdom says you should raise your family. You should handle your finances. That's kingdom come as much as you casting out a devil in Target. Right? Because here's the bottom line, and this is the non-fluffy bit that means you're going to have to live this, not just take it for a moment. The kingdom has its own grain. It has its own way of living. When you say you're a citizen of the kingdom, it means that now you live by the ways of the kingdom. How can I know the ways of the kingdom? Read your Bible. Look at the life of Christ. He embodied, he didn't just preach kingdom, he embodied it. His life was so delicious, he had to have crowd control. Oh, us, we have trouble getting people to come and visit us on Sunday. Room for improvement? Maybe the lives we're living don't look like the delicious life he lived. Because we're not living true to the grain of the kingdom in how we forgive, how we love, how we bless, how we care. But as we begin to bring our lives into the truth with the grain of the kingdom, every time we do, the kingdom breaks out through us. The problem is that often we're still living in the kingdom by the grain of the world that he bore us out of. Now, let's remember this verse in 1 Colossians. It says, you have been delivered from the dominion of darkness. For all you people that think you go to heaven when you die, no, wrong. You have been delivered from the dominion. It's not even a kingdom. The dominion of darkness. And you have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. When you have a revelation that you've been translated, then all you've got to do, this is discipleship, it's really simple. Evangelism's really simple. We make these things in the projects that are so difficult that we need weeks to explain them. They're really not. Evangelism is simply, you now go and live your life true to the kingdom of God. And as you do, your life will become the salt and light that sticks out in a flavorless, colorless world, because the way you live will draw the attention of others to say, what is it about you? Then you lead them to the foot of your king. Simple. Discipleship's really simple. Just bring every area of your life that doesn't agree with kingdom rule and reign under kingdom rule and reign. Oh, we won't even need counseling anymore. Come on, I'm irritating tonight. I believe in a place for counseling for certain things. But I think there's far too much counseling in the Western body of Christ. What we're trying to counsel is people living contrary to what God has told them to do. You will never end the turmoil in a person's life if they're living in rebellion to kingdom living. You will never. They need to repent and bring that area of their life under the rule and reign of kingdom life. And as they do, they'll experience freedom for all of their days. You see, we want to make catchy phrases like, oh yeah, righteousness, peace, joy in. We make songs out of it. Remember, was it Ron Canole? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy God. That's the kingdom of God. We come out of the conference Monday morning. I had joy and peace last night. Yeah, you haven't got it now because you're not living righteously anymore. Because the Bible says righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. But the good news is, if you bring any area of your life that's living against the grain into the subject rule of, and it's nothing bad, everything God says to live is the best way of living. It's not like do something you don't want to do. Whatever kingdom life is, see, it's basically this. You exchange your bad attitudes for His beatitudes. I remember reading the Beatitudes thinking, Jesus was like sitting on a rock like a guru going, here's the ideals of how to live. He wasn't. He was saying, let me tell you how we live in my kingdom. Let me tell you how we love where I'm from. Let me tell you how we forgive and handle relationships where I'm from. He wasn't speaking ideals. He was speaking the realities of the kingdom that he was the king of. He embodied those values and he preached those values. We should be constantly repenting in our life. Not in a negative sense, but any time we find within ourselves a grain that's contrary. Now you get it in church, you really do. You have people come up to you when you're a pastor and they say things like, oh, I love God, I hate that person, and I'm never going to forgive them. What? You are schizophrenically a dual citizen in ways that go beyond all understanding. Where did you get your Bible? Can I get one? Because it sounds like a lot of fun. My Bible says, but a man who says he loves God and hates his brother is a liar and the truth is not in him. That there's zero opportunity to carry unforgiveness for a person or hatred. I'm sorry, you are living in the kingdom of the world, which means you've got one foot in here for the bits you want, one foot in here for the bits you're stubborn about, which means you have two kingdoms operating within you, and there's your turmoil. But if you bring your life into the righteous rule and reign of God, you will have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, not just in meetings, but wherever you're walking in life, whenever the storms are blowing. It's about our citizenship to a kingdom in this life. When we've gained this, then we can begin to walk in the authority of the kingdom. And what I've discovered in my life is you don't get louder, you get quieter. Recently, I've been looking at things that a few years ago I would have shouted at. I'm looking at things. I'm looking at the wind and I'm saying, you can go now. You can leave now. Because I'm here and I know the kingdom that I represent. You see, like the disciples in the boat, I've awoken the word and I'm holding the keys, which means I can silence the wind that causes the waves. Come on, doesn't the Bible declare that our spiritual warfare is not against flesh and blood or carnal physical things, but it's against things that are unseen, things that are happening in the wind, not in the waves? But when we understand our spiritual citizenship to another kingdom in this life, the good news is it doesn't change when you die, you just carry on there. I think a lot of Christians that have served God for 50, 60 years that sat in churches going, "I'll fly away, all glory," but tolerated life here, never transformed here, are going to get to heaven and they're going to walk through the gates of heaven and say, "Hey, I've been saved 60 years. And the angels are going to go, "Yeah, you start year one tomorrow. Because the lessons you didn't learn there, you will learn here. The only difference between here and there is there you won't have a choice. There every knee will bow to the sovereign rule and reign of the king of the kingdom you are a citizen of. I want to wise up. I want every knee in my life, everything in my life, bow to that king and that kingdom here and now. If there's anything in my life that isn't of that kingdom, it's time for it to leave. Because what I'm discovering is when you begin to submit to the rule and reign of God, the joy and the peace and the authority of that kingdom begins to flow in you and through you, and you begin to speak to the wind, and you begin... I'm not going to go into details, but it was a rough time me and my wife went through. And I went to visit an old friend of mine. And he's an apostolic guy, been a saint. Oh, he's a beautiful guy. And he sat and he said, "How's the situation?" I said, "It's not shifting at the moment." And he said, "About 75. "Well, I'm decreeing it change every morning. I'm in agreement." I thought, if I wanted anyone praying for me, I want this guy praying for me. So that tick one. And he went, "Andrew." It's funny, only my mum and God and this guy called me Andrew. He says, "Wow, if God's not doing anything, it must mean that he knows you can, and he's given you the keys to deal with it. So you just need to go find the keys." That was December. I called a fast in my life in January, and I fasted like I'd never fasted before. Don't be over-impressed, it didn't take a lot. Seriously. You know, when I say I fasted like never before, people are thinking of like Lou Engle or something like that. You know, 60 days. No, there wasn't major world records that needed breaking to achieve a lot real quick, you know? About 40 minutes. No, anyway. I went in, I said, "I want those keys, Lord." And I felt alone, but it felt okay. I felt like I was going into a maze alone. And I went in and I just began to, and I found them. And then I began to speak with them. And this thing that was impossible began to shift. There was nothing that could shift it. The experts said it was unshiftable. My God began to shift it. But you see, he didn't want me to get the keys for that. He wanted me to get the keys for every other person that suffers that. So that I don't just bring his rule and reign into this instance, but suddenly I have authority in it, in the spirit realm, which means I begin to bring the liberty of the kingdom. If God's not got involved, it means he knows you can do it. But you gotta leave your natural citizenship and be a kingdom citizen and say, "Lord, I live under the rule and reign of your kingdom. Your kingdom come." And when you begin to, it's amazing, you begin, it's like the lights go on. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed. I've been doing this for like 28 years and I've been walking in authority. I've seen devils cast out. I've seen the sick raised. But something tells me it's going to get really exciting now. Something tells me we're turning a corner. Because when I read the book of Acts, I'm tired of that gap. It's not meant to be there. It's not meant to be there. I'm not meant to read the book of Acts and hear about how these people that were a part of the kingdom that I'm a part of, that were a part of a primitive church that I'm a part of, when they turned up, suddenly they laid hands on the sick and they were healed. They didn't give excuses. They looked at demonic forces and depressions and tormenting spirits and said, you can leave now. That their shadow would cause an outbreak of healing in people that it fell on. They were no different to you and me. They were still under the same king. They were citizens of the same kingdom. What's the difference? They knew it. They knew it. They knew that they were no longer of this world. That they'd been taken from the dominion of darkness and their lives were now in Christ, which meant they were in his kingdom and that they'd been given the authority. Come on, Jesus said, greater things will you do. Why are we not doing it? Not because we don't understand the gospel of atonement, but we don't understand the kingdom we represent here on earth. But when we do, then suddenly we'll see the reactions. Because those turned up, they walked down the street in their shadow would fall and people would get healed. They'd give handkerchiefs and, yeah, take that home, people would be healed. They'd come across demons and demoniacs and they'd say, you can get out now, you can go now. They'd see the dead raised. I'd turn up, they'd put the kettle on. I'm sick of it. I visit someone in hospital, they die. I know some people do, and like, I want to see some people jump up, and you know, because I read it in my book. I know the gospel. I know my Jesus. And now I'm knowing his king. The rule and reign is not far, far away. Can't you feel him right now? The kingdom of God is amongst us, but it's also within us. Because if it's just amongst us, it's something that we leave in a minute. But if it's within us, and we're carrying another realm, to the degree we're living in submission to that realm, will determine the degree we're walking in the authority of that realm. It's not about how long you've been saved. It's not about that. It's about when and how quick can you grasp this and bring every rebellious counter-cultural grain under his rule and reign. You see, submission and obedience. Let me leave you with one last irritating thing. This will irritate you to revival. I know, because this old man I'm talking about preached this verse in my church once, and it sent us into a 3-week awakening that I've never recovered from. Do you know what he read? He opened the Bible, flicked the pages, and he said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. That's someone that's a subject of, but not subject to. I want my response to be, now that I've grown up a bit, got over myself, got a hunger in me that I can't satisfy. Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? Who do you want me to forgive? Where do you want me to go? God, I'm not waiting to bow to your kingship far, far away. If I experience the kingdom of God returning with you in your second coming, I won't be surprised, because it's a kingdom I'm already in. Love your presence, Lord. Father, I pray that your kingdom pearl will begin to transform church members right now into kingdom citizens. For as much kingdom living when no one's looking as they are when people are. Worshippers that worship more in the audience of one than in congregations when we gather together. God wants to push the walls off of his church. He wants to plant kingdom life in church attenders. Because then we change the world. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. I'm on a little bit of an assignment at the moment, if you'll bear with me. I believe that God has given me permission to break fear off of people's lives. I can't break anything, but the kingdom that I represent can. Because my Bible says that God hasn't given his saints a spirit of fear, but of love, or power, love, and a sound mind.